From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Topical references ahoy as we reflect on Double Game Week 19, a game of stones. Fire for some, ice for others. With stark choices in store as big names hit a wall and various options to replace them. Will Kevin's knock drag on? And many other big questions in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm James Richardson, and joining me to react to Double Game Week 19 and look ahead to 20, we've got reporter and presenter Kelly Summers. Hey, Kelly.
Hello, James. Nice to be back.
Lovely to have you with us. Also, Duncan Alexander of Stats Perform. Hey, Duncan.
Hey, James.
Nice. And the FPL family has sent their brightest, Sam Bonfield. All right, Sam.
How are you, James?
Yeah, very well, thanks. It was an exciting double game week. A long one as well, whopping 8 days long. It won't actually conclude until this coming Saturday when Aston Villa take on Newcastle. But with two games to go, that one and Liverpool's clash with Burnley, which is on Thursday night, how are you feeling about your double game week performance, Sam?
To be honest, James, I was a bit scared going into Double Game Week 19. I went into it without owning Kevin De Bruyne, which always feels like a bit of a disaster, particularly given the fixtures that he had this week. And also only having 7 Double Game Week players and no chip in play. So it should have been pretty much disastrous, but it's gone quite well. I'm on 95 for the week. It's a big green arrow. And Salah captain still to come. So fingers crossed.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people did have chips in play. Wild cards, there were about 400,000 of those. 250,000 people free hitting. Bench boost was over 250,000. Most used chip was the triple captain, which the other half of the FPL family, or the other 40%, we might say, based on current scores, Lee Bonfield, had used on De Bruyne. How did he feel about the De Bruyne return and the fact that De Bruyne is now out of the picture for a bit? What do we know about Kevin's injury as well?
It's not ideal, is it? I think he had similar happen last season when he triple captain Mane, who then went off injured during that game. Very disappointing when that happens with a triple captain, particularly when you spend a lot of time thinking about how you're going to deploy that chip. So far, all we know is that it's a muscular injury, and that's all we've heard from Pep. But we should have a couple of press conferences from him before the FA Cup and then again before game week 20 rolls into play. So hopefully we'll get a bit more news about Kevin and his potential for a long term, or hopefully not, and a return to game week 20.
Duncan and Kelly, you both had Kevin as your captain. Do you have chips in play as well?
No, I was too scared to use triple captain on this one. I think it's the scariest chip to use, actually, because it's such a random one that I think last season I genuinely used it on the last day of the season and it worked out quite well. So a bit late. But yeah, I mean, my big move was to panic about City having two, you know, reasonable games. And I brought in De Bruyne and captained him, which is all right. And brought in John Stones, which has worked out very well. So that's basically saved my week.
I was one of those very clever people that a few weeks ago when games were starting to get postponed, I thought I was being really clever. I already had Cancelo and I was like, I'm not going to bring in two City defenders just in case we lose any more of their games. So I brought in Harry Maguire. So I was delighted when Fulham scored as early as they did. I was also delighted when Cancelo didn't even start City's first double game week game. I did have De Bruyne. I didn't use any chips. I did hover over the triple captain about 10 minutes before deadline. The night before, I really thought about it and I didn't do it. And I'll be honest, even when he only got an assist in the first game, I kind of regretted it.
De Bruyne was the second most captained in game week 20. Salah, who's yet to play, had the most people handing him the armband. 80,000 players used their triple captainship on Bruno Fernandes, who did get awarded an assist in the win over Fulham, but otherwise failed to light things up, particularly a lot of big names, big name players, not really performing up to expectations, Duncan.
You know, remember at the start of the season when there were like 40 goals in game weeks and stuff? That isn't happening. And it seems like you can actually pick up a lot of points with defenders at the moment. But it's obviously a massive risk / stupid to triple captain a defender. So I think... if you'd triple captain John Stones now, you'd be going around in an open-top bus, I imagine. So, yeah. Yeah. So maybe it isn't. I mean, I'm the man who captained Martinez earlier this season in goal. So what do I know?
Yeah. Well, they've seen worse prospects for riding a chip on. Anyway, well, listen, let's have a look then ahead at game week 20. Of course, it's the FA Cup this weekend, but straight after that, from Tuesday, we get the 10 matches of game week 20 underway. What do they involve? Let's look at that next. 10 games for you starting Tuesday. Crystal Palace take on West Ham. Newcastle are up against Leeds. Saints Arsenal, just a couple of days after they face each other in the FA Cup, and West Brom Man City. Then Wednesday, Burnley up against Villa, Chelsea Wolves, Brighton Fulham, Everton Leicester, Man United Sheffield United, and then the round concludes with another Thursday night game for Liverpool, this time away at Spurs. First of all, what's the strategy? Do we wait in terms of transfers until Monday, until as much of the cup is done as possible?
Personally, I will be. I will be because I don't want to have to take any more hits. I've taken too many hits this season and I just worry a little bit about injury. I'm also not sure I want to make a transfer. So for me, there's nothing standing out for me. But I just think that with the congested fixture list, I think we have to be really careful. Muscle injuries, Pep said post-match with Kevin De Bruyne, he said, muscle injuries will happen with this number of fixtures. So, and particularly like with Liverpool playing Manchester United on Sunday, they could both potentially play really strong teams. So we could see an injury for one of your Brunos, Salahs. So I wouldn't be too hasty personally, but maybe that's just because I've only got one transfer to use.
Where are you all looking to pick up the points then? Sam, what fixture catches your eye?
Well, of course, for me, it's got to be the Spurs game, hasn't it? It's the FPL Family Derby in midweek, which always provides a lot of entertainment in my household, or ends up with one of us cowering behind the sofa anyway. For me, going into this one, it's actually the Liverpool players that I'm kind of most intrigued by. Salah has now got four blanks in a row, obviously prior to the second part of the double game week against Burnley, which, you know, for him is a highly unusual record. He never really goes this length of time without scoring some FPL points. But he hasn't even really looked likely over the last few weeks. He's looked really, really off it. And to be honest, actually, the Liverpool attack have looked really off it. And I think in part, that's because the Liverpool defence has been shot to pieces in terms of having a pairing at centre-back that they can actually get out. So the loss of Matip has actually been huge because it means that we've seen Jordan Henderson having to play in the centre of defence, which means that he's therefore missing from midfield, which in turn has a knock-on effect on those going forward.
I think we have to remember as well that the gods of football are quite capricious, and by beating Palace 7-0 and basically massively overperforming on XG, Liverpool have then, you know, scored once against West Brom and then gone three games without a goal. I think the Burnley game tonight is massive. If they get back on form, I think they're going to get back into their groove quite quickly. But if they struggle to break down Burnley at home, which they have done in previous seasons, found that quite a hard fixture, then, you know, this could go on for some time yet. So it's a very difficult one to judge.
Both they and Spurs have quite hard, difficult runs of fixtures coming up. I must admit, whilst your question about where are you going to spend the money is a very valid one, each week when I make transfers, I think about financing stuff with Salah, and it's getting more and more tempting. If he doesn't score against Burnley, it's going to be tough to argue with.
Could be time for the 5-3-2 to come into play. Give up on midfield options and just, you know, invest at the back.
Which would be a massive shift, wouldn't it, from where we were at the beginning of the season? Because at the start of the season, it was all about go big in the midfield with the likes of Aubameyang and all of those guys, who, by the way, is starting to come back into his own again now. But yeah, we're starting to see a shift in managers picking up massive points hauls. You know, we've mentioned John Stones already, but Diaz also this weekend at Creswell, all picking up Koufal even at West Ham too, all picking up decent FPL points. So there's nothing wrong with going for the big hitters all across the bat.
Well, as I mentioned, not only Liverpool, but Spurs as well do have tough fixtures on the way. What's your feeling right now about Kane and Son? I know they're tattooed on your team sheet, Sam, but for other less emotionally involved managers, what would... Kelly, what's your view?
I'm not a Spurs fan, as we know on this podcast, but I have a weird emotional attachment to Son. I just feel like he's the one player that always seems to punish me when I don't have him. I think I'm thinking back to when Spurs went to Southampton and I'd sold him that week. And he, of course, well, we don't need to talk about that anymore. Son is the one I'm a little bit worried about, just because I think for his price point, actually, he's almost at the moment a better asset to have than Mo Salah or Kevin De Bruyne. So I will be getting Son in. It's just waiting to see if Mo Salah can pick up. And having heard those stats from Sam there, I don't think it's going to be Mo Salah.
All right, Duncan, tell us about which fixture you would like to pick apart tactically and from a FPL point of view.
Yeah, I've gone for West Brom City, which is an interesting game for a number of reasons. Obviously, there were calls early in the season for Sam Allardyce to come in to advise Pep Guardiola on defending. Turns out Pep knew what it was up to. And City's, you know, defensive record at the moment is just extraordinary. It's clean sheet after clean sheet. You know, Ruben Dias and John Stones have seemingly formed one of the great central defensive partnerships. And, you know, it's amusing how it switched around from last season where City had to play Fernandinho at the back and now Liverpool having to play, you know, Fabinho in their defence. So City look rock solid, and I've got Stones. I mean, Cancelo, as we mentioned earlier, he is very difficult to predict when he's going to definitely be in the starting 11. But creatively, he's amazing. You know, he's one of the most creative defenders in the league.
That's so nice. And yet, how many attacking returns has he had all season? One attacking return all season. He's a little bit De Bruyne light in that he always looks like he's just about to. He's on the verge of getting big returns, but he never quite does.
True, but I think if De Bruyne is injured, he has got that ability to play further forward in the kind of Philip Lahm pushed forward fullback into midfield role. So you never know. One option with West Brom I would go for is Matias Pereira, who really seems to have been made a kind of key figure in the Sam Allardyce era, as it is. You know, he's got 24 points in game week 19, and he looks like he's, you know, essentially the player who can pop up for West Brom and get points. So he is his numbers are 5.6 million, and he's only owned by 0.8% at the moment. So he is like a huge differential.
Wow, it's not a bad one, is it? What about Ilkay Gundogan, who we have mentioned, I think, in the past? Is not really a player who's been on my FPL radar, but the last 7 game weeks, he's only blanked in 2. 54 points he's picked up. I think that was what he tallied across the double game week. This after a really slow start to the season, only essentially a point around in the first 12 game weeks.
If you're a Manchester City central midfielder and suddenly you've got this defence behind you, you're going to pop up further up the field. And that we're seeing that with Rodri, possibly too far up the field for Dean Smith. And we're seeing it with Gundogan as well. So I think they're definitely going to have more attacking returns than they would have done, you know, earlier in the season or last season.
But as it stands, Duncan, your recipe for success would be a couple of, or possibly even tripling up on Man City defenders, or Edison and a couple of defenders?
Yeah, I wouldn't go Edison just because I think him and Alisson are too expensive. But I think, yeah, 2 or even 3 City defenders at the moment is just, it's 3 points.
All right. Kelly, how many have you got?
Well, I've got just the one, as I said before, Cancelo. I regret not having 2, and I might bring in a second, but that all depends on what I'm going to do with my midfield.
Sam, how many have you got, and how many should we have?
Yeah, just for my sins, like Kelly, I just have the one. I have DS, though. Went with him because I felt like he was more sure of starts, has a bit less attacking return potential maybe, but actually we've seen in game week 19 that he can get up there and get assists, and there's potential for some aerial threat from him too. But I do think that what the guys are saying is right. I think it's sensible to own 2 of them. They're in such good form right now defensively, so solid at the back, that going for Cancelo and Dias looks like the premium pairing to own. But John Stones is cheaper, offers really good value for money. I have some slight wobbles going forward about Laporte's return from injury, and what that might mean for what the Man City back line looks like, in terms of who loses out, because at some stage you would expect Laporte to take his place back. So that does worry me a little bit, but I think the sensible option still is to invest at least twice in the Man City defence.
All right then. Now, Kelly, I know you wanted to chat a little bit about Everton against Leicester. So I suspect this might be about the fact that Jamie Vardy is not scoring anymore, but it doesn't matter.
Yes, while Jamie Vardy's had no goals since game week 14, in that same period, James Maddison has had 7.8 points per game. Harvey Barnes as well has had 6.3 points per game, and he's a little bit cheaper than James Maddison if you haven't got the funds. But Maddison, I think you'll have all seen his post-match interview now after that game against Chelsea, and he's clearly really enjoying his football, and he was really honest And he kind of highlighted how Jamie Carragher said he needs to get his numbers up and he wants everyone talking about him. And we are, because he's scored in three straight games, having produced only three attacking returns in the opening 10. This is the form we've wanted from James Maddison for quite some time. And at 7.1 million, I think we now have to look at him, because that's quite a nice enabler. If De Bruyne or Mo Salah isn't for your team anymore, you can save a lot of money and maybe put it into your forward line, maybe upgrade to a Man City defender by having one of these midfielders. It seems a bit weird to call Maddison an enabler, but he almost could become one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Duncan and Sam, are you looking to bring in Leicester players?
Yeah, James Maddison is right at the top of my most wanted list right now. I've been really impressed with him since his return from injury. For me, he's the Leicester player that makes that side tick. I think he makes all the other players in the team a lot better in terms of both the Premier League performances, but also in terms of FPL assets. And with Jamie Vardy right now, seems to limp off at the end of every game with some sort of niggle or problem. And he just keeps blaming it on old age, which makes me feel incredibly old, given we're about the same age as each other. But for me, yeah, James Maddison, Harvey Barnes is a nice cheaper option still, but I really do like James Maddison. I can see him really kicking on over the next few weeks and scoring some great FPL points.
What about James Justin, who a lot of us has been absolutely fantastic. Is he going to be affected at all by the return of Ricardo Pereira, potentially?
Brendan Rodgers really teased us in midweek, because he did come on Pereira for the final 15 minutes, but he was in a far more attacking midfield kind of role. So Pereira's one to watch, because A, he could take the place of James Justin or Castagna, though I wouldn't like to be Brendan Rodgers telling either of them that they're dropped, given the form that they've been in. Maybe he could go even further forward in that team. But yeah, does worry me a little bit as a James Justin owner, but when he's putting in performances like he is, I can't see how he can be dropped right now.
All right. Particularly with that lovely run of fixtures coming out. Who exactly are they going to be facing, and which other teams have good matches on the way? Let's have a look at that next in the long view. Listen, I'm sure by now you're all over the Premier League's fixture difficulty rating chart, which is available at fantasy.premierleague.com. Our one, which is calculated to the next six game weeks, currently has Crystal Palace on top with the easiest fixtures. You piling in on Palace, Sam Bonfield?
No. I think I think the form doesn't match up, does it? The fixtures are nice, but they don't have the form right now.
Well, Man United up there as well with some good fixtures. Sheffield United at home, Arsenal away, Saints at home, Everton at home, West Brom away, and then Newcastle at home. Fulham too, who have Brighton and West Brom in their next two games. Given how their form, not necessarily their results, but their performances have improved of late, is it time to start thinking about a little bit of cottage action?
I'm not 100% sold on Fulham yet, just because they need to start converting these chances. However, we should very much have these players on our watch list. The likes of Lookman, ever since that penalty, it's almost galvanised him, I think. They've sorted out their defence. Now it's time to sort out the attack. Lookman looks their brightest spark.
Duncan, what about Man United? How many have you got? How many are you thinking to get in based on those fixtures I mentioned?
I've got Fernandes, who seems to be the one United player in a bit of a you know, decline at the moment. A little player called Paul Pogba might be a good shout there. He's only owned by 2% of players. You know, in years gone by, he would have been up there as a kind of option alongside, you know, all the big midfielders that bring us points and we look to captain. And he really looks like he's about to hit, you know, the sort of form that could finally end United's long title drought. For me, I'm genuinely considering switching Fernandes for Pogba, which frees up quite a lot of cash, which obviously would help elsewhere. So, I mean, yeah, we've seen him have good games before, but it really does feel like he's actually beginning a spell of form that is sustainable.
Well, he only had two attacking returns in the first 16 game weeks of this season, but the last three, he's averaged 7 points per match. As you mentioned, just 1.8% owned as well. 7.7 million. It sounds like a heck of a shout if you think he's going to continue featuring as a starter under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Duncan.
Well, I think Solskjaer's worked out that against smaller teams, like the game against Fulham this week, you can play him in the midfield too. And then in bigger games like Liverpool last weekend, play him further forward. And that seems to work. So it feels like Pogba's now got a good shout of, you know, as long as he stays injury free, of playing pretty much every game for the rest of the season. So yeah, I mean, at this stage, if you need to to make and find differentials, I think he's a really good shout.
Certainly is, and you're going to bank a bit of cash as well off making a move, for example, from the rather tired-looking Fernandes to him. Sheffield United at home, Arsenal away, Saints at home and Everton at home, then West Brom and Newcastle are those Man United fixtures. So it does feel like we need to load up on Red Devils. Aside from Pogba, anybody else who'd be on your radar?
I mean, Luke Shaw, his kind of resurrection this season has been incredible. You know, he seems to have got his old pace back. Since Christmas in the Premier League, only Mason Mount has created more chances than Luke Shaw. He's level with Grealish, Fernandes, one more than De Bruyne. Now, they aren't necessarily being converted into actual assists and goals, but, you know, he's become quite an essential player in United's defence now. And, you know, United are reasonably strong at the back. So I think he offers kind of defensive and attacking returns potentially. So, yeah, Luke Shaw.
Mm. Kelly, you've got Harry Maguire. How happy is that? Are you with that?
I feel like you're asking that sarcastically after I've already told you I opted to go for him over two City defenders. Not very happy.
Right. Okay. Just checking. Sam, what about you in terms of Man United?
I have Bruno and he will be going nowhere. Yeah. Mm. I think Bruno is exactly the sort of player that will punish you as an FPL manager if you take him out, I'm afraid, Duncan. For me, he is a season keeper and a player that will not leave my side. We've seen in previous game weeks that whenever Ollie tries to leave Bruno out and give him a rest, Manchester United seem to capitulate and just don't play as well without him. So he is one of those players that will be in that Manchester United starting lineup for now and till forever, I think, until Manchester United can learn how to play without him. I don't think it's a bad shout to double up, though, with one of the other additional midfielders at Manchester United and go for the likes of Bruno and Pogba or and Rashford. That looks like a nice option. In terms of the back, I agree, though. I think Luke Shaw's a great pick. Maguire just worries me with his yellow card hanging over him in terms of getting himself a little suspension if he gets another one. But we shouldn't also forget about Wan-Bissaka, who has some attacking potential. And obviously, if they keep clean sheets, we'll get the benefit of that as well. And potential bonus point up if he's able to top up his clean sheet with some attacking returns.
One thing I would like to add, I was a little bit hasty with my Maguire response there because actually watching the Fulham game last night, Maguire from a couple of corners looked really, really dangerous.
Harry Maguire is the sort of player that you think scores a lot of goals from corners and set pieces because
like João Cancelo.
People remember when he does.
He gets the chances, he just doesn't actually score them. He just can't get on target.
So someone asked me on Twitter the other day his conversion rate from headers, and it's really low. He scored like 2 from 30. So he gets into good positions, but his finishing with his head is actually not that reliable. So, yeah, I mean, that might come good. He might do a Kurt Zouma and suddenly hit a run where he gets sort of 4 goals in 8 games or whatever.
What, and then get doubly benched in the game week?
Yeah, exactly.
Sam, let's just finish off our long view section with a quick check on when the likely double game weeks and blanks are in the near future. And also, you mentioned not using your triple captainship this week. What guidelines would you have for people in terms of when to use it in the weeks coming forward? When to look out for? What would be a good opportunity?
So it's looking increasingly likely that we're going to get a blank game week in game week 29 and that we'll have another double game week in game week 26. Obviously, the fixtures will shift around, so there will be other doubles available, but those are looking like the two bigger game weeks that you're going to have to contend with in terms of the chips that you have left remaining. So for me, I've held on to my triple captain chip. Mostly that's because Harry Kane will have at least a couple of doubles over the course of the rest of the season, and I feel like he has the form that makes me want to put it on him. Plus, the further we get into the season, we should hopefully be coming to an end of social distancing and of games being called off by COVID and postponement. So towards the end of the season, we should get some more surety that the games are going to go ahead at the point that they are scheduled for, I hope, anyway.
Right.
And that's what I'm saving my chips for.
Okay, so essentially a little bit of an ease on the pandemic and Harry Kane in a double game week. That's the condition.
You nailed it, James.
Triple captain. All right, excellent. And 26 for the double game week and 29 for the blanks. As it stands, it's not official yet, but that's the way it's shaping up with the FA Cup fixtures that are going to move some Premier League games around. Very good. Keep across everything, of course, at fantasy.premierleague.com or by listening to the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Next up, let's check on this week's Twitter question, which is all about your biggest differential asset. This week's question with answers to hashtag FPL pod was as follows. Now that we've gone through the blank game week and the double game week, which FPL asset will be your key differential going forward? Ryan says, Marcus Rashford. Just look at them fixtures. Ebba says, Luke Shaw. There you go, Duncan. Malik is saying Jota when he comes back from injury. Blame the beanbag. Mentions Gundogan, who's been able to survive the Pep roulette and is consistently providing returns. Indeed. Joe says City defensive double up and Antonio. Great shout. And Kaysen says City double up on Dearson, Gundogan, Watkins and Villa, having at least two double game weeks on the horizon because they've got three games in hand at the moment, Villa. And Neto, says Kaysen, so I can tweet, get in the Neto when he scores. And you can't put a price on that, can you? Okay, so Duncan.
Yeah, I back him a lot there. I like typing get in the Neto as well, or Neto, no Neto, when he had a couple of goals disallowed last season.
Surely you should get Ndidi for the same reasons. So like Martin Tyler, you can shout out, yes, Ndidi.
Yes, Ndidi, yeah. Yeah, you could try and get an amusing phonetic team. Probably it's not your first choice FPL team, but maybe as a fun second one. I mean, one thing I would say on differentials going forward is that we are entering the end of January now, and that is when a lot of transfers happen. Someone mentioned Antonio there, who's a good option, but he does get injured quite a lot. West Ham obviously have sold Haller. They're almost certainly going to get another striker in, and depending on who they get in, he might be a good option for the rest of the season. Or, you know, Arsenal have been linked with Martin Odegaard. I would have a look at how it's shaped up at the end of the month and see if there's any good options there, because this season, more than any other, I think being able to have a good January transfer window is going to make a big difference to teams.
Great shout. Which differentials have you got that you're really building your hopes on for the weeks to come, Kelly and Sam?
So ones I've got, actually, I don't have that many differentials. Suchek was, I've got Antonio. They both look like nice options. But for me, there's a couple that I'm kind of looking at. One Kelly mentioned earlier is James Maddison, who I think looks like he's going to be a great pick going forward. But I also think Raheem Sterling is worth a shout. At just 4.4% owned, you never get Raheem Sterling at such low ownership. With games against West Brom, Sheffield United and Burnley to come. Obviously, he had that duff week a couple of game weeks ago when he came on, missed a penalty and got minus one. But if you take that out, he's averaging 6.1 FPL points per game right now between game weeks 13 and 19, which actually is fairly decent returns. Couple that with the fact that, you know, we may or may not lose Kevin De Bruyne. Somebody has got to stand up and be counted if he's not there. And for me, I would expect that might be Raheem Sterling. So he's one that's definitely on my watch list as a potential premium differential.
All right. Well, let's see how much of all of that you're willing to put into practice when we ask you what transfers you're going to be making ahead of game week 20. All right, so the deadline for game week 20 is 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon. It's a funny one, that. So you might want to get your transfers or decisions done by, say, Monday evening, once the cup's sorted and you know the latest injury news, that kind of thing, especially about Kevin De Bruyne. Any long-term absence from him, I think, will spark a wave of people selling him off, and you don't want to miss out on any price, or you don't want to be caught up in any price drops there. But while we wait to hear about KDB, what are we looking to get done ahead of 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon? Duncan?
Well, assuming KDB shakes off his injury and is okay, I'm going to get rid of Zuma and bring in another City defender. So
okay,
probably
Zuma.
DS.
All right.
Yeah.
Good
shout. Bye-bye, Zuma.
What about you, Kelly?
I'm waiting. Sorry to be really boring. I don't know at the moment. I'm not going to pretend I'm making one because I'm not sure. I need to wait on Kevin De Bruyne. I'm hoping if there is no injury to Kevin De Bruyne, I won't make a transfer and I'll hold it for next week because there's a fair bit I want to do to my defence to get in that extra City defender to downgrade if, in terms of price, Pudence to Emile Smith-Rowe, I've just been talking about. So I'd like to hold the transfer and maybe make two or even three transfers next week. But it all depends on what Pep says about Kevin.
Right, okay. Three transfers next week. That sounds exciting. So another Man City defender, and then who else?
Probably Pudence down to Emile Smith-Rowe to then just give me a bit of flexibility with a big move. I need to get my I was kind of getting to the double game week and then reassessing where I was and making my strategy for the next few game weeks. But Kevin has put a bit of a thorn in those plans at the moment. So yeah, I'm having to be patient, which, as we know, as fantasy managers can be quite tough.
It is tough, isn't it? Sam, what about you?
Well, I have 3 million sitting in my bank right now, which feels a bit ridiculous.
So do I.
And I do you?
I don't know.
Must be a girl thing. It's burning a hole in my pocket. And I think I have it from downgrading Dominic Calvert-Lewin to Antonio ahead of the double, which was a very, very wise move. I'm very grateful to Antonio for those lovely point hauls. So I think for me, I'm looking at James Maddison this week. I can go from my really cheap midfield asset from Yves Bissouma up to James Maddison, which feels like an absolute no-brainer right now. Still leaves me with a little bit of pocket change in the bank. But the rest of my team looks fine. I am pondering still on the double City defence. I think that makes a good option, and that does mean I won't do Maddison because I haven't got the money to do both of those things. But I do think that there is some really nice moves possible out there right now. And of course, we've got to wait till the end of this game week to see what happens, because Salah's obviously going to play probably twice against Burnley, and then I would expect him to still play against Manchester United in the cup as well. So there's a lot of football to be had, and the potential for a change at Salah's end is also still there.
Absolutely. What about armbands? Liverpool up against Spurs, as you mentioned in the FPL Family Derby. Are you going to be entrusting Harry or Son Heung-min with your armband?
No, not this time around. I think there is always potential that Harry Kane or Son or Salah does really well in that game, but it's very hard to call. Whereas I think the Manchester United game is very easy to call against a Sheffield United side that are so woefully out of form, that Bruno Fernandes makes absolute sense to me to wear the captain's armband this week.
Bruno. Duncan.
Well, as we've discussed, I've lost faith in Bruno, like a boxing promoter in the mid-90s. So I think I might go... Patrick Bamford, captain.
What?
Because they're away at Newcastle. Yeah. And he got his biggest haul of the season, 17 points away at Villa.
Captain, a goalkeeper.
Nah, that's been done. It's, you know, cliche now. But Bamford, Newcastle are now committed to this all-out attack, Steve Bruce said, which didn't work out too well away at Arsenal. And Leeds, obviously, aren't in great form, but they're going to bounce back at some time and wear better than Newcastle away. So I think, yeah... I think that
they've also had a nice long stretch of time to get their strength back. Not that tiredness was an issue, you know, let's be clear on that, but they have had a sustained period away from football because of being knocked out of the FA Cup with great foresight in the previous round. So yeah, coming back at Newcastle, it's a very interesting shout for a player who I'm not sure if he's passed many people's eye test of late, but if you're willing to give him the armband, perhaps we should think again. Kelly, who's going to be your captain?
Well, I just actually opened my team and I always set it all up, just supposing I forget the deadline, which I never do. I'd already put the captaincy on Kevin De Bruyne prior to last night. Obviously, I'm not going to be doing that. Mm-hmm. I think, like Sam, Fernandes, I know that Duncan's a bit of a Fernandes hater, and I'm not as excited as I would have been a week or so ago about Fernandes being my captain because of the emergence of Paul Pogba. However, looking at my team now, he's the standout option and he's still on penalties.
Right, which is huge. I'm just looking at his returns. Just that one assist in the last three game weeks. Yikes. That's all I had to say on that. Just yikes.
If not, it's Cancelo. That's my next best option. So.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Well, whatever you do, Kelly, make it count because I am breathing down your neck. Not in a non-socially distant sense, but
that scares me a little bit, James, because you're kind of my barometer. As long as I'm above you, everything's all right.
Well, I am currently, if you're keeping track on this, 22 points behind Kelly Summers, but I in turn have Duncan Alexander roaring up behind me. Not really, in fact.
I got within 2 points of you, I think, and I was like, here we go, parity. But then you've bench boosted your way into the... Horizon.
No, the bench boost was entirely irrelevant. My bench boost has had no impact on my century. Yeah, no, my triple figure score this week is not about my bench boost. It's all about having Stones and Antonio. They've rocketed me to a whopping 120 points so far with a couple of players still to go.
Stones owners are so jammy.
Yep.
No, that's not true at all. We looked at the numbers we looked at the numbers, we crunched Cancelo's figures, and we realised that the value lay elsewhere.
No,
and,
you didn't,
and
James.
So it has proved.
You didn't. You just looked at which one you could afford, and you bought him in.
Also, I could afford him. Very good. The deadline is at 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon. Keep across all the latest injury news about Kevin and everybody else at fantasy.premierleague.com, where you can also find loads of other great FPL content like the FPL show, although we're not doing one until next Monday night, just ahead of the Tuesday deadline. So that's one not to miss. It'll be up to date with all the latest info. Join me and Jules Breach for that. For now, though, it's many, many thanks to Kelly, Sam and Duncan for today's official FPL podcast. And I hope that's been some use to you, listener. We'll be back with another show next week after game week 20. Best of luck, everybody. And bye-bye for now.